ॐ शुक्लां वरदरं विष्णुं शशिवर्णं चतुर्भुजं प्रसन्नवदनं ध्यायेत् सर्वविघ्नोपशान्तये ॐ सदाशिवसमारम्भां शङ्कराचार्यमध्यमाम् अस्मदाचार्यपर्यन्तां वन्दे गुरुपरम्पराम् ॐ We are done up to 846 Nama in Vishnu Sahasra Nama. The 846th Nama was Vamsa Vardhanaha, he who multiplies his family of descendants. So the Lord's family is nothing but his entire universe. So the Lord keeps on expanding. That's what even the science is saying. His universe is going on expanding. So the Lord's family is the whole universe of things and beings. So therefore, Lord keeps on expanding infinitely. So, Vamsa Vardhanaha. Also, Vardha means, like we discussed last week, annihilator. Annihilator, Narayana, is the one who annihilates all the negativities, ignorance. When, you know, we turn towards Him in love, in undivided attention, in whom the world of perception, emotion starts, and everything merge gets annihilated. So the moment we turn our attention towards the divinity, it raises our awareness level and all the fear goes. So you were also asking, is this anxiety normal? Answer is yeah, this basic anxiety is normal. Even when you go to test your BP, in the beginning, even though your BP may be normal, in the first reading when you go to the doctor, it will be slightly high. So they'll say after 3-4 minutes, they say relax, relax, and then they take. Then they'll take that into account, not the first one. I think the first one is called as the white collar BP or something. Because anxiety is there. I hope there is nothing wrong. The mind creates that anxiety. You know, because this fear, ego. So the moment you turn towards the divinity, you understand the whole picture, big picture. In the big picture, the anxiety and everything dissolves. So that's what he says. So, the root word means annihilator. So the moment we go to divinity, it destroys all the, you know, attachments, perceptions, actions, emotions, thoughts. Everything gets dissolved. The sense everything merges into that divinity. Next shloka. Bharabhrutkatito yogi, Bharabhrutkatito yogi, yogi shastarva kamadaha, yogi shastarva kamadaha, ashramashramanakshamaha, ashramakshamanakshamaha, suparnova yuvahanaha, Bharabhrutkatito yogi, yogi shastarva kamadaha, ashramashramanakshamaha, suparnova yuvahanaha. Bharabhrut. Bharabhrut means one who carries the load of this entire universe. It is not to be understood in the sense of literally carrying. One who carries the load means mud carries the load of the pots. By pervading the pots everywhere. In that sense, it is the material force. So it should not be understood as somebody carrying the load. It is a substratum upon which this entire universe is superimposed. So when the Lord is carrying this universe, it is to be understood as what? Nothing but superimposed. So there is no burden whatsoever. So Bharabhrut. Now, if you understand this, both intellectually and emotionally, When you understand that Lord is the one who is actually carrying all the burden, then what will happen is, you will not unnecessarily have this involvement in anything that I have to carry. You know, see, you may be the chairman of a big organization. So you today may think that the entire organization is sitting upon me. That is why you are stressed, isn't it? All of us go through this stress because of that. This entire organization is sitting upon me. Lord is carrying everything. He is the one who makes sure that everyone gets results according to their efforts. Karma phalam. So why are we unnecessarily getting involved and thinking that I am carrying it? Whether you are carrying or not carrying on your head, when you are sitting in the aircraft is what is carrying the luggage. Similarly, the entire universe is carried by the Lord. So therefore you can relax. In the sense, you do everything, but don't get involved. Don't think you are indispensable. What will happen? Nothing will happen. It will continue. Things will go on. So why you have to get unnecessarily involved, you know? So bara brings. And also, the Lord carries this bara. For the Lord, it is not bara. For the Lord, it is not heavy. It's like the world falling on the retina. But the retina is not at all going through the stress. The entire world is impinging on the retina. But the retina is relaxed. Similarly, when we understand this, we will carry, whether you have to carry the business and family and many more things, you'll be able to easily do it because you'll be relaxed. You won't be attached. You won't be involved. So that's why he says, Bhara Brit. Lord carries everything and nothing is a load for him. He is the cause which has become this effect. So he carries this entire effect being the cause, being the substratum. So unnecessarily, why do we have to carry it in our head? That which knew what it needed to you when you were in the womb is the one which is taking care of you now also. But this mind thinks that I am doing it. I am doing it. What will happen if I am not there? Nothing will happen. Temporarily they will be struggling, but they'll find a way out. When the leader passes away, somehow they fight and all that, but somehow the second fellow comes to the struggle. The nature corrects itself. Nature will not leave the the vacuum for a long period of time. The vacuum will be filled. So you don't have to worry. You just relax and do your bit as long as you are there. Carry it on your shoulders, but not in your head. The problem is we all carry it on our heads. Either people don't carry it on their shoulders and then be indifferent. Or when they carry it on the shoulders, they carry it on the head also. I am the one who is running it. You become suddenly so involved. And that's why you go through stress. So it's not the work that gives us stress. Work is impossible to give you stress. Work has no capacity to give you stress. It doesn't matter the quantum of work. What gives stress is the selfish attitude, the egoistic attitude, the labor attitude that I am carrying, I am doing this. When you have love, when you have bhakti, nothing is heavy. You know, if you have to carry your son, supposing something happens and he is like 40 kilos weight, and he is not able to walk, you have to take him to the doctor. And there is no other help, no car, nothing. And it's very urgent, you have to take him. You will carry him. Physically you may feel the strain, but mentally you are never stressed because there is love. When there is bhakti, when there is love, there can be no stress. Only when there is labor attitude, I have to get this much out of it. So that labor attitude gives you stress. That attachment gives you stress. That involvement gives you stress. When you go to take That attitude gives you stress. So therefore he says, Bharabhrit. He's carrying the entire burden of the earth. See, some of you who are running all these businesses, few thousand employees may be working, or 100 employees, 500 employees may be working in your organization. During Corona time, a lot of people had difficulty, isn't it? Business was not going on, but you have to give salaries to everyone on time.
Oh God, at 11 o'clock.
I'll put everybody in. So during that Corona time, a lot of organizations, you know, they were out of business for a while, but they had to pay to their employees. So some organizations paid fully, some organizations paid half, or whatever. Somehow they had to make them survive. So it's such a difficult task they went through, all of them, during that 6 months or 1 year period. Just imagine, for about 500 people, 1,000 people, to maintain, we had to go through such difficulty. Imagine this entire universe is going on and on. Who is carrying all that? Who is making sure that the rain comes exactly on time? Who makes sure that there is enough food available for everyone? It's very, very interesting when you analyze it. There are more plants than herbivorous animals. There are more herbivorous animals than the carnivores. Who's designed it that way? If it was the other way around, what would happen? Who designed it that way? No. So, the law and order, everything is maintained. Bharabhrit. You don't have to unnecessarily worry. And then next nama is Katitaha. One who is glorified, one who is spoken of in the Vedas and other spiritual textbooks. Katitaha. See, once you understand the self, then you do not want the equipments to be used for any other purpose. The organ of speech is only to sing the song of the Lord or talk about the Lord's glories. The hand is only to serve the Lord who is present in every being. The eyes are there to see the Atma in every being. Today, unfortunately, these equipments are all put to use to please the ego personality. No? So the only thing that is worthy of being spoken of or constantly discussed is Atman Brahman. Nothing else. So he says, Katitaha, one who is glorified in the Vedas and other scriptural textbooks. All the scriptures in the world, they talk about the divinity, the truth. Everything else is perishable. It's not, it's not worthy of talking about all those perishable aspects. Imperishable is Brahman. So he says, Katitaha, always spoken of in the Vedas, especially in the scriptures. They talk about Atman, Brahman. See, when you want to talk about something, it should be something worthy and it should make us worthy. No, a talk, frivolous talk, what happens is, firstly, the talk is not worthy. It disturbs both the listener and the speaker. It instills insecurity in people, unnecessary gossips. You only become more insecure. You only become more agitated. So, the word that you speak should empower you, should empower the listener, the speaker, the environment, everything. So in the Bhagavad Gita, it talks about tapas at a vachika level. What you speak should be truthful. What you speak should be beneficial. What you speak, how you convey it should be agreeable and acceptable and pleasant. You know, like the quinine tablets, they'll coat it with some sugar and give you. So even if you are saying something which is good for them, which may not be pleasing, you have to present it in a pleasing way. And that will happen when there is love in the other person to whom you are communicating. If you have love towards the person, then you will communicate it that way. When you see yourself in that other person, then you will communicate it then. So that's what he says, Katitaha. One who is glorified in the Vedas and other scriptural textbooks. Something which is outstanding, which stands apart compared to everything else. You know, everything in this universe varies only in degree. Whereas Atman or Brahman varies in kind. Everything in this universe is non-eternal, not all-pervading. They have a cause and effect relationship. But the moment you talk about Atma, Brahman, it is eternal, it is all-pervading. It is a causeless cause of this universe. It is infinite, it has no beginning, it has no end. It is permanent, imperishable. Everything in this universe is perishable. They all vary only in degree. Dog's life is for about 14, 15 years. Human being may live 60, 70 or 100. That's all. But they vary only in degree. But in kind, both are perishable. Whereas Atma is imperishable. Something that is far superior in kind. Qualitatively superior. So, you should talk about that only. What is the point in talking about perishable? What is not good for you? Or to the listener? Why you talk about it? So, Katitaha, the worthy thing to talk about is Brahman, Atman. And then Yogi, one who can be realized through yoga. Yoga has many meanings. Comes from the root yuj, which means to unite. So, the greatest yogi, where everything is united and dissolved, therefore he is the greatest of all yogis. And yogi also means, the term yoga means stopping of all thoughts. That is another meaning. So when all the thoughts are dissolved, what remains is divinity. You merge with that divinity and you become a yogi. You have become united with the truth. Once you have united yourself with the truth, there is no more thoughts coming out from you. So therefore, he says, yogi, the greatest of all yogis. One who has conquered the thoughts, has merged with the divinity. The mind, which is the maya, is resolved in the truth. Then Yogisha. Yogisha, Isha means Lord. Yogisha means the Lord of Yoga. Lord of Yogis. The King of Yogis. The King of Yogis in the sense of all the Yogis, the Self never becomes the non-self. It's always united with the Self. It's always in its supreme glory. You know, that's what it means. Yogisha, one who realizes the Self, becomes the Self. This is the Upanishadic declaration. It always remains in the perfect yoga state. It never falls down. It is due to our maya we think we have fallen down. There is no agency of doership or enjoyership in the Self. When the Self identifies with this world, and the moment this ego personality comes, we foolishly think that we are separate. But the Self is never separate. It is always remaining in its pristine glory. So Yogishaha. Sarva Kamadaha. One who fulfills all desires of true devotees. Sarva Kamadaha. See, the way to fulfill desires is mentioned by Swamiji also in the Vedanta Treatise book. He explains beautifully, he says, you get what you deserve, not what you desire. You get what you deserve, not what you desire. How do you understand this? Here he says, sarva kamadaha. But what I am quoting now from Vedanta Treatise book is, you get what you deserve, not what you desire. So how do you reconcile these two? Sarva kamadaha means one who fulfills all desires. But I am saying, our Vedanta Treatise book is saying, you get what you deserve, not what you desire. So how are you going to reconcile these two? Anybody? This is a little important, so I want you to think about it before I can give you my view. Anybody? You forgot about sarva fulfiller of all desires. Just tell me, how would you understand this statement? You get what you deserve, not what you desire. Nobody wants to give it a try.
You get what you deserve by putting what efforts you put in. The results you get. And the everyone desires the best. Everyone desires good health, but to be put in that effort. Everyone desires power, wealth, ability. And what have you done to achieve what you have done? And is it good for you in the ultimate, in the longer run? We don't know what is really good for us.
See, you touched upon it. You said, you get what you deserve means, it is not by simply desiring that you will fulfill the desire, you have to put in the effort. But while putting in the effort, if you are attached with the desired object, if you are attached to the desire, your action to that extent will be impoverished. You won't be able to put in the right effort. So, you will not get it. So, if you want to fulfill a desire, you have to rise above it. You have to rise above the desire. So, when you rise towards a higher goal, that's why we say, give a direction to your desires. When you give a direction to your desires, you are working for that cause, you are working for that higher. You forget about the desires while you are working. So, you are able to perform actions better. When you do that, with that achievement, you will be able to fulfill your other desires. So, you get what you deserve. Means you have to rise above the desires. And then only you will be able to fulfill the desire. If you are attached, you are still in the same level of the desires, you will not be able to fulfill the desire. So now come to what he is saying. Sarva kamadaha. One who fulfills all desires of true devotees. So when you focus your attention towards the Lord, you rise above the desires. And you do your actions, whatever you are supposed to do, as a service to the Lord. When you do that, you do it perfectly. Then that law comes into effect. You get what you deserve. Because the effort was done without any desires. You did it perfectly. As a result, you will get all the desires that you were having in life gets fulfilled. The sense, say for example, when a person pitches up the goal of an organization and functions, he forgets about his personal desires. He has the desires, but his reason above it is his intellect directing towards the goal. And he just does what he has to do for the organization. So the organization's profit potential increases. Then he gets the salary, increment, incentive, everything. With that, all other desires can also be fulfilled. But supposing he works to get those desires of his fulfilled, he constantly keeps on working. To that extent, what happens is, he will not do the right action. To that extent, his actions will be impoverished. And then the results will not come. So that's all Vedanta is saying. When you rise above your desires, you fulfill the desires. You deserve the object of the desires. When you take your attention away from it. So there is nothing wrong in having the desire. All Vedanta says is you should not act upon the desire. Dedicate it to higher cause and function, then even the desires will be fulfilled. So sarva kamadaha. One who fulfills all the desires of the two devotees. A devotee or devotion, when you talk about, it is nothing but self-effacement. All kinds of definitions people talk for devotee. You are a great devotee of the Lord if you talk ill about all other gods. If you are a devotee of Lord Rama, you have to criticize Krishna, you have to criticize Allah, you have to criticize Jesus, you have to criticize Ganpatiji. Who's saying like that? I don't know. Or you have to do so many rituals, you should have completed these many days of puja, nothing of the sort. You can do all those rituals or you may not do, that is different. But was there disillusion? See, when you get into marriage, the I becomes we. We are one. But to the extent there is the distance there mentally, that marriage will not be solid. Somewhere there is still I, you, the difference is there. The moment we become one, then that will be solid. So, same thing, when you say you are a devotee or in devotion, to that extent the I should have been merged in the Lord. So it is nothing but self-effacement. Tera na mera. That is devotion. To the extent the mera is reduced, to that extent it is devotion. To the extent the mera is there, it is not bhakti at all. It's madness. So therefore, when you are a true devotee, you surrendered your ego, when you function like that, everything gets attracted to you. See, babies, you know, children, they don't have any expectations from anybody. So that's why everybody would like to go and play with them. You also lose your ego and you also become a child when you play with the children. You know, you also suddenly get so much of energy when you play with them. So it is the losing of ego that determines your bhakti. So when you lose your ego, everything gets attracted to you. Everybody gets attracted to the children because they don't want anything. Same thing in the world also. If you are, I want this, I want that, I want this. Everything gets completely moves away from you. So the way to attract things to you is to rise above it. Sarva kamadaha. Then ashrama. Place of rest. A harbor, you know, where the ship goes and rests happily. So Sri Narayana is like that. He is the harbor. The ship is going in the ocean, and it is tossed by various waves. You know. So when the ship comes to the harbor, it is peaceful. So similarly, our mind, we are traveling in this journey of life, tossed by all the likes and dislikes, struggling. The moment we think of the Lord, life becomes peaceful, as if it has reached the harbor. Shrama, ashrama. It is shrama when there is ego. It is ashrama when there is no ego, when there is only self. Remember this. Any time in life, whatever situation it may be, if we are going through stress, 100% there is ego or selfishness. Otherwise, it's not possible. Not at all possible. So, world is incapable of giving us stress. When we contact the world with ego, when we contact the world with selfishness, it gives us stress. Whatever may be the challenge, if you face it with devotion, if you face it with identification with the self, then it cannot give you stress. Impossible. So this very term stress comes because I'm going on living at the ego level. The more I live in the ego level, the more stress. In children, the ego is still not manifest. So they don't know what is stress. The moment ego comes, I am there, this thing is there, I have to do this, I. The moment I come, stress will come. So ashrama. Shrama, ashrama. Non-laborious. Non-stressful. Peaceful. The moment the ship moves into the ocean, will be tossed by the waves. Similarly, we get into this worldly living, trying to fulfill our likes and dislikes. We go through selfishness, we get into stress. But we move the ship from the likes and dislikes to the self, to a higher goal, to a higher ideal. Then we will be like the ship in harbor, called ashrama. State of peace and joy, that is called ashrama. So when you think of Narayana, you become peaceful. Well, you know that the whole thing is taken care of by Narayana. Everything emerges from Narayana, exists in Narayana, dissolves in Narayana. Why you have to worry? Otherwise you will be going into this astrology, palm history, and all kinds of things. You know, you need to worry about all the planets, how they are moving, what kind of effect will they have upon me. You will be worried constantly. But instead of doing all this, the simple method is simply surrender to the Lord. Because all these devatas, all these planets, everything obeys that Lord. He is the ultimate power. Ultimate power. He has the veto, you know, that he can reject or pass it against the will of everybody else. So there is the story of Markandeya. I suppose most of you may know it. Markandeya was supposed to die at the age of 16. So Yama comes with his rope and he tries to throw it on Markandeya, and Markandeya is running to save himself. He goes and hugs the Lord Shiva's, you know, linga, shivling, goes and hugs it. Then by the time Lord Yama has released the rope goes and falls around Markandeya and Lord Shiva. So the story goes that Shiva manifested actually and blessed Markandeya and said he will be always 16. What the story is trying to tell is, It is not that you disrespect all these devatas. I am not saying astrology is not a science. Palmistry is not a science. I am not saying all that. In fact, Jyotisha is one of the Vedangas. Siksha, Kalpo, Vyakaranam, Niruktam, Chandas, Jyotisha, Viti. Says Mundaka Upanishad. Six Vedangas are there. So, Jyotisha is Vedanga. Jyotisha means, Jyoti means light. So, definitely all these are given by the Rishis only. Understand? So, they are not nonsense. Whether the people who see today, whether they have that knowledge, that I don't. And also the data that you provide, how accurate it is, that also we don't know. So the data whether we are giving is accurate, we don't know. And then whether the person who is seeing and telling, whether he has the knowledge or she has the knowledge fully, that we don't know. But over and above all that, why are we so much worried? Oh, this devata ko ye karo, ye puja karo, wo puja karo. Oh, satisfy this devata, satisfy that devata. I don't want to this. Instead of all that, directly go to Brahman. Directly go to the Supreme Self, to whom all the devatas report. You understand? That's why in Tamil, the Siddhars, Siddhas, they are said in Tamil, Naal and Seyim, Kol and Seyim. What can the day do or planet do to you? Anything you want to start? Okay, fine. You have a mind, so you want to see the good time and all. But everything, every little thing you want to see, the good time, bad time, constantly. You have no time to do anything properly. So, constantly stressful mind. That's what I'm trying to say. He is there. He will take care of everything. I will do what has to be done by me. The devotion, if you continue, there is the fear. There is no fear, nothing. All comes the moment I take it upon myself. So, that's what it means. Ashrama. Ashrama. If you see Varnashrama Dharma, they say. There is another meaning is there for ashrama. What ashrama are you? Grahastha ashrama, anaprastha ashrama, sannyasa ashrama. What varna are you? See, in the sense, according to your nature, you should be. Varna is not decided by your gunas. Sorry, it's not decided by your birth. It is decided by the gunas. So when you, according to your gunas, if you are there, then you will be peaceful. Isn't it? If you have the nature of administration, chivalry, then you have the rajas in you. If you are in that field, you will be peaceful. I remember when I was growing up, two of my other cousins and myself, the same age. So one of our grandfathers caught hold of us during one of the functions at home. Sit down, all of you. I think I must have been like 7 years old or something. He caught hold of all three of us and said, sit down, all of you, and then started teaching us some shlokas. I still, today also I remember those shlokas. Me and my other cousin, we were so much interested in learning. The third fellow is not at all interested. Highly agitated. You understand? He, every 2 minutes, he'll say, I have to go to the loo, I have to do this, I have to do that. He was not at all listening. He never knew the shlokas. Not interested. He's feeling out of place. That is, his nature is different. Nothing wrong or right about it. So you will be peaceful if you are in your place. If this is your varna, according to your guna, you have to be there. Similarly, if you are a marrying type, you will be peaceful if you are in marriage. If you are a non-marrying type and you are in marriage, my God, it is a torture for you and the other fellow also, partner also. So, you have to understand your nature, your gunas, and accordingly you will be stationed, then you will be peaceful. So, therefore, he says, ashrama. So, everyone goes through stress the moment they move away from themselves. The moment you move away from the self, you will be in stress. Many of us have moved far away. Moved far away from the self. That is why we go through stress. The way we understand this knowledge and start moving closer and closer to the divinity within, we become more and more peaceful. Actually, there is no reason to be agitated at all. But we will somehow come up with some reason and be agitated. I have no problem. That itself becomes a problem. Say, yeah, you don't have a problem. Say, I don't have a problem. Maybe there is something wrong. I'm not moving. You have to find out. Must be some problem. Let's find out. Mind will not allow you to be peaceful. So ashrama. Then shramanaha. One who persecutes the worldly people. The moment your mind moves away from the self, you go through stress and strain. Get persecuted in the world by the likes and dislikes from within and the sense objects from outside. The impermanent aspect starts torturing us. So therefore, when a person starts living in this world just to fulfill the sense demands, goes through tremendous stress. See, first of all, there is no guarantee that I will achieve the object of my desire. Secondly, even if I achieve after so much of difficulty, there is no guarantee that I will hold on to it. That it will stay with me forever. There is no guarantee. That is even more stressful. I think it was Bill Clinton who said, when he was still the president, second term, you know, only two terms you can become president. After that, you can't contest in US. So he's already second term, I think. So they asked him, the last 6 months was there, what is the most dreadful thing as a president for you? He said, the thought of being the ex-president. The thought of being the ex-president. He still has 6 months. But he said, thought of being the ex-president. That is the most stressful thing, he said. The very thought. So, you know, the moment you move away, everything is impermanent. So you will constantly be in stress. The moment you move towards the self, come closer to the self, you'll be peaceful. So the more and more people move towards the sense gratifications, demands, there is no guarantee you will fulfill it. Definitely there is no guarantee that you will retain it. And the very thought of losing is painful. And actual losing is much more painful. It's a big problem. A very, very, very big stressful thing. Everybody goes through that. So that's why he says, Shramanaha, one who prosecutes the worldly people. Those who are constantly chasing the sense objects, they go through hell. Very beautifully in the Pineapple and the Bee poem, he says, folly, the spring of thy pursuit, disappointment, thy fruit. The very beginning is fault. The very beginning is the sense. We think there is joy in the outside world. That's the problem. The moment you think there is joy in the outside world and you start chasing it, you will not get it because it is not there. It's like the rainbow. It appears to be there, but it's not there. So one who pauses and understands that there is nothing there, he doesn't chase it, he'll be peaceful. The moment you chase the illusion, you won't be satisfied. You won't be peaceful at all. Full of stress. See, a lot of people's confusion is, after great difficulty, they have earned wealth and they managed to preserve it. Now, when you come to a particular age, you ultimately want to hand over the wealth to your children only. But now the fear is there. If I hand over the wealth to my children now, will they take care of me now? Now that I have given the wealth. So what do? I give them away, because in some families we see, after all the wealth has been given, parents are neglected. So should I give? No. Okay. Then after my demise, supposing if the wealth doesn't go to the children, if somebody else takes it away, so what should I do? Which is the right thing to do? Such a big problem. simple thing like this, but it's a genuine thing also. It's not an easy thing. How much to keep, how much to give. And then, oh, you don't believe in me, you don't trust in me, so you don't want to give me, okay, you keep it. And that causes even more friction. So going through stress, not happy with it, definitely you will not be happy without it. Do not know what to do. This is because you have invested in the material stuff. It's not having the material stuff. Investing the mind in the material stuff gives you stress. That's why when we are hale and healthy, when we are able to talk nicely, express nicely, we should start talking about God, singing the songs of the God. God means divinity, the permanent aspects of life. Dharmic Vishaya. When you start practicing like that, it gives you a solid foundation. In spite of all the difficulties, you will not feel stressed. Otherwise, 100%, if you invest your thoughts in the material stuff, 100% there will be stress. Next nama, Kshamaha. Kshamaha means one who destroys everything during final deluge. Finally, everything comes into it only. Everything gets dissolved into the divinity. And then from the divinity, everything comes back. Everything resides in the divinity, dissolves in divinity. So, Kshamaha, one who destroys everything during final deluge. All our desires, agitations are shrunk. The worldly projections, everything is shrunk, the end. Completely digested, gone. For this, so much of fighting and competition, hatred, jealousy, is it worthy? It's not at all worth it. It's not at all worth it. Life's, you know, when we started this corona thing, we none of us felt that it's going to be this long. Now again they're talking about corona and all that. I think for the last 3 years we have not met. Thanks to this technology, classes are going on. But now 3 years have passed by. No, 2020 March, I think. So now 23 March is gone. 3 years gone. Fourth year has started, we have still not met. We are not met in the sense. All I am trying to say is how days, time pass. We think it is such a long time, 100 years, huge. The Bhajagovinda says, Nalini Dalagata Jalamati Taralam Tattva Jivita Matishaya Chapu. Like water on a lotus leaf. Adishankara says, like few drops of water on the lotus leaf will be floating, you know, because there is greasy surface. On the lotus leaf, there is greasy surface. So the water is floating, like mercury on paper, this side and that side. Somehow it will be there on the leaf. Which minute it will fall back into the pond, you don't know. Any minute it may fall back into the pond. That is the condition. And we are, you know, terribly attached. Everything gets dissolved. So we should not get attached and go through suffering. Kshamaha. Suparnaha, the golden leaf. When he talks about leaf in the 15th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, he says, you know, Chandamsi Yasya Parnani Yastam Vedasa Vedavita. The leaves of Ashwatthi tree. He talks about the Ashwatthi tree in that 15th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita. Urdhva Moolam Adashakam Ashwattam Prahura Vyayam Chandamsi Yasya Parnani Yastam Vedasa Vedavita. That is that shloka. So the entire Ashwatthi tree, the root is Urdhvam and Adashakam, the branches are below. So he beautifully portrays. Urdhva is the Brahman. From Brahman, this entire Ashwatthi tree comes out. Ashwatthi tree is compared to the world, the samsara, From that the secondary roots come and they cling on to the earth, etc., etc. It goes on. There he compares the leaves of the tree with the Vedas. Chandamsi Asya Parnani. So, and he says golden leaves, Suparnaha. One of the most interesting namas of the Lord, Suparnaha. So, he says the leaves are nothing but the knowledge, the Vedas. So it's a golden leaf, meaning it has come from Brahman. This knowledge has emerged from Brahman. The Vedic passages have come from Brahman. So Suparnaha, Parna means leaves, Suparna means golden leaf or clean leaf, pure leaf, excellent leaf, etc. So that these Vedas, this knowledge is nothing but Brahman. So it is Suparnaha. That is another beautiful nama of the Lord. Vayu Vahanaha. Vayu Vahanaha means the mover of the winds. Basically what he is trying to say in the Vedas, it is declared, out of fear of Brahman, the fire burns, sun and the moon function, earth rotates, the wind moves, etc. Declares the Upanishads. So, then he says, Vayu Vahana. He is the one who moves the winds. He is subtler than the winds. He is subtler than the prana. Pranasya prana, says the Keno Upanishad. In the Keno Upanishad, he says, pranasya prana. We think this life is sustained by prana, but that very prana is sustained by Brahman. The life is sustained by prana, but the prana is sustained by Brahman. So therefore, he says, vayu vahana. Now, when a person is alive or dead, how do you check? You keep the finger on his the nostrils and see, oh, gone. Not breathing anymore. Gone. Then slowly temperature goes. Body becomes cold. You know? All that happens. So, wind leaves. Heat leaves. Water leaves. And when the water leaves, body starts disintegrating. Isn't it? Becomes powder. You put little water in atta and then you make a ball out of it and then make roti. You can make it into different shapes when you add water. So our body is what? Earth, water, fire, air, space. So wind leaves, fire leaves, water leaves, earth leaves, then whatever little space we occupy, that also goes. For this life we are fighting. The fake thing that has come up for a while. Vayu Vahana, the mover of winds. All this is existing in him. That is what he is trying to explain here. Bara Britse Shuru Karke. He is now concluding with Vayu Vahana. This prana itself is sustained by him. And if everything that you hold on, what would be the most valuable thing for anybody? The most valuable thing will be what? Life, isn't it? I've heard stories of people, this is with reference to South Africa, but it happens in every country. In South Africa, few of my class members, and they went there, in Johannesburg airport, from the airport they were going to the hotel, they were attacked. And at gunpoint, you know, I believe they usually kill them. These fellows somehow escaped. Everything they asked, they gave everything. Passport, money, gold, sab kuch de diya. All they said is, please leave the life, don't kill us. I believe generally they don't leave them alive, but they escaped. As soon as they landed, they called me. Sir, we want to talk to you. And then I met them and we were having a chat. They were explaining this. So, life, the prana, for that only we are doing everything. Huh? Everything, whatever nonsense we are doing, or sensible thing we are doing, is for that life. But that life itself is moved by Brahman. It is sustained by that Brahman. It's a sustainer of life. It's a life principle. It's what Vayuvahana means. So when Brahman is the life sustainer, instead of valuing that, we are valuing all these other things. It's not worth it. That is what we have to understand from this Nama. When we understand that in this Nama, then we drop the exaggerated value towards the worldly objects. They wanted to save the life. So they were ready to give away everything. Right? If they were attached to it, they would have been finished. They said, please take it. They survived. So, what sustains your prana is Brahma. Is the vahan upon which the vayu travels. Otherwise it will not be traveling. He is the one who is sustaining it. He is more important than life. He is the life of life. That's what it means. That life principle, we don't do anything, no efforts whatsoever to achieve that when we are alive. And suddenly, as we get older and older, fear of death comes. Because slowly, slowly, one by one, some of our friends are dying, acquaintances are dying. Oh my God. Okay, maybe I am the next one in the line. The third one in the line. I don't know. The fear comes. Then we want to catch hold of Bhagavan in some form or the other. So, if you are wise, when your senses are functioning properly, your mind is functioning properly, and your intellect is functioning properly, you will start investing in the divinity, in the truth. Vayu Vahana. One is the reason behind the life itself. Life principles. See, when you go to buy a bulb in the shop, you buy the bulb, is it glowing? It's not glowing. It's just there. But when it is connected to electricity, instantly you see the light coming out of the bulb. So, the electricity expresses through the bulb as light. So, it is the divinity that lends the sentiency to this erstwhile inert body to function, to express life expression. So, when you wake up in the morning and say, oh, I am alive. Which means what? It is another opportunity for me to celebrate. But we are so busy. Oh, okay, I am alive. Let me acquire more. Today, what all I need to do? As soon as I get up, to-do list. Subah subah, the morning. Ye karna, wo karna. From that fellow, we have to take this back. From this fellow, this has to be taken. This has to be given to our children. This is the kind of to-do list we are making. The first thing, as soon as you wake up, you are thankful to the divinity. Thought of God should be there. That's the culture, isn't it? Any religion, in Christianity also. When I was growing up, when I was small, my neighbors, they were Christians. So, almost every night before going to bed, I used to be playing with them for some time after our dinner. So, they used to do prayer. I used to sit with them and pray. Even now I remember. You know, they said, oh, thank God for the food you have given us, etc., etc. And then finally they say, Amen, Amen. So, when you go to bed, think of the divinity. When you rise, think of divinity. Which means what? During the day also you think of divinity. In Islam also they practice 5 times worship. Not just on Fridays, every day. 5 times prayer doesn't mean you don't do 6th time or only do 4. You do 4 times, it's crime. What it means is constant, 24/7. Prayer is not a part-time, pastime hobby. It's a full-time awareness of truth. That's what it means. That's why they do 5 times prayer. That's why Prophet Muhammad said, do 5 times prayer. It's a very important thing for them. Meaning, you have to be prayerful. But awareness has to continue in life. Awareness should not be there only in the prayer room and then it's gone, it's forgotten. No. So when you say Vayu Vahana, the sustainer of life, out of the fear of God, everything is functioning. The pranas are functioning, everything is functioning. The Bhagavad Gita, he says, I am the one who comes out through the sun and gives light, vitality directly through the sun and indirectly through the moon, and cook all the vegetables in the earth and then give life to the human beings by consuming the vegetables. So you consume the vegetables. What you are actually consuming? You are consuming the vegetable, but through that you are consuming what? The vitality, the life. So what is sustaining your life? The life principle, that is Brahma. That is what is sustaining your life. But for that we run out of time. Oh, one more day I'm living. Let me go and hoard more and more. As if that is going to protect us or save us. Therefore he says, Vayu Vahanaha. Mover of winds. Let's conclude. Om Purnamadha Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadhaya Purnameva Vashishyate Om Shanti Shanti Om Kayena Vacha Manasendriyairva Buddhyatmana Va Prakrute Swabhavat Karomi Adhyat Sakalam Parasmahi Narayana Yeti Samarpayami.